You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 7 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Ness and I from Sasfin. I want to touch on a fair bit out there. The SAPI seemed disappointing. Supply chain issues happening there. And then, of course, Sibanye Stillwater. Co-op Agri CEO Sean Walsh, a strong 6 months for them. And then Karoo CEO Zach Callisto and their first results since listing on the NASDAQ. Our poll yesterday, which we had out on our Facebook, our Twitter, and LinkedIn social media accounts, we were asking you about MTN versus Vodacom. We talked to Martin Smith about it, and he was way in favor of MTN, and across all the social media, certainly MTN was a clear favorite with our listeners. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines, MoneyWeb, the FSCA issues and then withdrawals, warning on OVEX crypto exchange. This all happened literally within a couple of hours, shame on the FSCA. I mean, that it's important that when they speak, they are correct and they don't literally a couple of hours later have to pull back their statements. Business Day, Sibanye's blowout quarter. They made $15.3 billion, which is in one quarter, which is more than they paid for those mines. They only paid $13.5 billion for the entire mine. Morning markets, US, we've got green there, S&P up 0.8 and NASDAQ up 0.4. Asia, green, Sydney up 0.4, Tokyo 0.1. Commodities, green across the board. Gold, $1,821. Rand, 1420. And top 40, opening call about 280 points. That's about 0.4% up.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nissen Naya. He's a portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Nissen, appreciate the early morning. The SAPI numbers, I mean, they've actually been hit by their talk around scarcity of shipping space and containers. In other words, we're still seeing supply chain disruptions hurting them. But I don't know, SAPI, for all the years I've been watching it, sometimes it really does well and other times it just sort of collapses in a heap. This is a bit middling, but it's almost a perennial disappointer. Am I being overly harsh?
Yeah, Simon, I think there's a lot of truth in what you say. Good morning. The truth is, when South African investors look at paper companies, we looked at SAPI and Mondi. Mm. And Mondi was always a much better organized, better operated paper business. Although, it's not entirely comparable. SAPI is more into sort of magazine paper. Yeah. Now, cellulose, which is used as a raw material in a lot of other industrial processes, whereas Mondi's focused mainly on packaging. But I take your point, and it's a good point. A perennial disappointment. They historically had a combination of errors on their own side, like very high debt levels, mm-hmm. as well as things that were outside their control, like paper prices, and now supply chain seems to be another thing which they're saying is literally out of their control, which I suppose, we can all understand and, to an extent we can empathize with them. But the truth of the matter is that's why we want good management out there, is to be able to deal with those specific challenges and come up on top. And, it seems like SAPI hasn't managed to do this this time around.
I mean, if we're talking good management, Neil Fronman, and I said in my intro there, I mean, mines that he bought for, $13.5 billion, they made more money in a quarter. I mean, it was a knockout update from Sibanye. And truthfully, we should expect it, right? I mean, those commodity prices, PGMs, palladium and rhodium at records, gold back above $1,800. We expect those cyclical commodity miners to come to the party, and they came to the party.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's, what's that, $1 billion in one quarter. It's a phenomenal number.
Yeah.
You know, I think FirstRand makes, $30 billion or so in profit, you know, for the year. And then those were probably, maybe it's slightly outdated, those numbers, but those were probably in good years. So just to give you in context, you know, the amount of money Sibanye is making, I must say, Neil Froneman, everything he seems to have touched so far has actually turned to gold, excuse the pun. you know, he's done a phenomenal job. Bought assets, I think bought assets at the right time, knew how to sweat those assets. He was helped, sure, mm-hmm. with the commodity prices. It wouldn't have worked without it. But, you know, even if you look at their production, apart from the strike that they had a few years ago, production's always been on an upward profile.
Yeah, and that's the critical point. He sweats those assets. And yeah, timing helped him. But you know what? If you dealt the hand, Platt, quick last question. I mentioned gold there above 1800. I mean, gold's the fear trade. The only fear I can think of out there is the worry around interest rates. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I you know, they will rise in time. Wayne McCurry was saying earlier in the week, it's going to happen. The timing is the issue. Gold bugs having another sort of day in the sun.
Yeah, I think so. I think this may last for a while. And I'm not a gold bug by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a combination of things that's helping gold now. I think interest rates may surprise us. It may stay longer, for a lot longer. And the fact is that what we do know is that there's a hell of a lot of dollars that are being printed. And invariably, that's going to rebase the dollar value of all commodities. That's partly, and I think probably mainly, the reason why we're seeing this huge surge in commodity prices across the board. And I don't see any reason why we should think it's going to slow down or stop anytime soon.
No, I take your point. I mean, I'm not a gold bug either, but when gold is moving, you can't just ignore it. Nesan Naya, Portfolio Manager, Susfin Securities, really appreciate your early morning, sir.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Sean Walsh, CEO of COP. I agree, they had results out 6 months ending March. Revenue is up 15.6%, HEPS up 24%, and a 40-cent dividend. The stock has done incredibly well over the last couple of weeks and months as we see a record wheat season. Sean, appreciate your early morning. The wheat season certainly has helped boost your numbers. It's been that record 2021 season. But truthfully, your retail's picking up. I mean, some of it's coming out of COVID, but a lot of it, if I look through the numbers, is just how COP Agri has kind of positioned the business.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, absolutely. We've been working at this for a few years to diversify the business into generating more than 56% of its gross profits from general retail rather than the old agri retail traditional business. And, you know, the efforts around footprint growth, optimization of the business, leveraging the diversity in culture and digitization is certainly working with, you know, really remarkable sales of over 15.4% growth in the retail categories for the 6 months. And one must remember that these 6 months compared to the prior year 6 months that was hardly impacted by COVID at all. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
very happy.
I mean, there was a little bit in the previous sort of March, but I mean, we went to lockdown on 27 March, and there were some concerns. But I take your point on that. You mentioned retail, and there's a fair bunch there. I mean, you've got the fuel company, which obviously is fuel sites with convenience sales at the same time. You've also got your AgriMark retail branches, which is sort of, you know, I won't say traditional stores. I mean, they're certainly agri orientated. How has fuel picked up? I mean, is it back to sort of normal levels yet? Obviously, it would have been massively depressed in during hard lockdown.
Yes, so what we're experiencing, Simon, is that that is the part of the business which still lags in terms of COVID impact, being the fuel company. And in particular, less traveling is still prevalent, and we've seen between a 10 and 15% non-recovery yet to the pre-lockdown levels at some of the old traditional retail fuel sites. And the fuel company has grown its revenue by over 11% this year, and litre growth by 8%, but basically off the back of new sites that were added.
Okay, gotcha. So there's still a bit there, but sort of getting there. But your Agrimark retail branches, talk me, I haven't been into one. I know some folks down in the Western Cape who certainly have. I mean, what is the sort of sales mix there? I mean, is it very sort of, in inverted commas, farmer orientated, or is it wider than that?
So obviously in our semi-urban areas like Durbanville, Paul, Stellenbosch, mm-hmm. when you walk in there, you'd actually get the same feel as what you're getting in a Builders Express.
Gotcha.
And the more you go into the rural area, you would then add more of an agricultural flavor to it as you move out towards the Bordeland area and into the Northern Cape, etc. But, I mean, it's remarkable what these stores are producing for us. You know, building materials are up over 20%. Pet and accessory is up 17%. And garden and pool is up 19% for the period.
Wow, okay.
Remarkable sort of numbers coming through. Certainly a bounce back in terms of our business.
And the one key point, I mean, you know, Cop Agri, I always think of it, you know, you think wheat, you think Western Cape, but truthfully, I mean, I was quite surprised. You've got 218 presences across 8 of our provinces. You've got a little bit in Namibia as well. You really are, this is a sort of South Africa-wide operating operation.
Absolutely, Simon. So, you know, out of those 200 sites, 137 odd are in the Western Cape, which bodes well for our further footprint growth into the future because we haven't yet done the rest in totality, and we still won't call ourselves a national player yet.
Yeah, but certainly that scope for growth. A last question.
Sure.
You know, we talk around a bumper wheat season and the like, and there was a time, perhaps, you know, a couple of years ago before the sort of retail expansion where Co-op Agri was very much going to be tied to what the commodities and agricultural seasons were doing. How much have you sort of managed to alleviate that with the fuel company, with the Agrimarks, where you almost, to a degree, independent of what's happening on the farms in the regions?
Absolutely, Simon. So we know now that the grain services, as we call them, will give us a solid performance every year of between 15 and 20% contribution to the group, and that's about it now. And we don't have aspirations to take that national. We do a very good job of that in the Western Cape, and we'll stick to that. But that's the contribution, between 15 and 20%. The focus now has moved towards optimizing our retail offering, really doing a lot of work around digitization in replenishment assortment, margin management, price management. And that's what retailers do. You know, so we're certainly more retailer nowadays than what we were 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. More retailer than sort of farming supplier business, as you say, 15 to 20%. It's there. It's a nice solid base. It's no longer the giant number it used to be. Sean Walsh, CEO, Co-op Agri. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting to Zach Callisto, CEO of Karoo. Chatted with a few weeks ago when they relisted back onto the JSE. But yesterday had full year and fourth quarter results out for end February. Revenue up 18%. Subscriptions up 17%. Zach, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. Results very much showing this is a full year. So it's got that lockdown of last year. And of course, you're operating beyond just South Africa, you're in Europe, you're in Asia. How much are your operations sort of back to normal in terms of ability to serve customers and sign up new customers?
So pre-COVID, we were growing at around 22% year on year.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, during the COVID, we only grew by 16%. If we take our last two quarters, the last half year of FY21, we were already, if you annualize that growth, growing at 23%, which is actually faster than pre-COVID. But having said that, we've certainly employed tremendous amount more people. We're scaling our business for future growth, and we're certainly not operating normally. We still have tremendous amount of restrictions to operate in all our geographies. And perhaps the geography that we've got the least restrictions at this point in time is probably South Africa.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Asia operating out of Singapore where your head office is. You're in Europe, and I was on your webcast yesterday, and you're saying there's still challenges there. Part of that growth, I mean, you know, I think a lot of folks, myself included, would think, tracking a stolen vehicle. It's actually a lot more than that. I mean, it's you've got, you know, when I say, you know, gigabytes of data, I mean, probably literally generating tons of data. Is that part of the growth trajectory, which is we've got this data, how can we help our customers use it?
So, you know, our part in terms of vehicle recovery, that's, you know, still an important mm-hmm. part of our business. But today it's not the pillar of our business. I think that stopped being the pillar of our business approximately 10 years ago. And today it's all about the data and what we do with the data and how we add value to our customers using that data. And that's certainly the future. And we're investing a lot into our data science department. We've increased our R&D teams by, I think, at this point in time, just to give you an idea, last financial year, the R&D spent was about 3% of total revenue. Mm-hmm. It's already now at 5%, and we will continue to increase our R&D capabilities, given our ability to take all the data that we've collected over the years, plus all the functionality that we've brought onto our platform. And this will drive value for all our customers.
And that, in a sense, then suggests, I mean, as you say, the private customer, myself, who's got a tracker on my car, remains important. How much of your customer base these days is commercial, to whom I'm imagining this big data is way more valuable than a private client driving around, you know, Rosebank?
Well, at this point in time, about 65% of our customers are enterprise customers. Mm-hmm. About 35% are consumers and sole proprietors. We are adding quite a lot of functionality onto our platform, where we already are driving value far beyond just recovering a consumer's vehicle. We've got facilities to detect whether the customer's been in an accident, and then we can send out an ambulance, for mm-hmm. instance. We've got data to be able to make sure that the customers get the best insurance service. We've now bringing Carzooka, where yeah. we can make sure that all our customers get the best value for their vehicles, because we've got the total history of the vehicle, how it's been driven, where it's been driven. So that's going to be a huge value to our customers, to make sure that when they do sell their vehicles, they get the most value for their vehicles, because, you know, sometimes the prices can be, customers can be, and vehicles can be unfairly priced, because typically, one isn't able to prove where you've been driving the vehicle. Have you had your vehicle in Durban mm-hmm. or have you had it in Johannesburg? It's got a huge difference in terms of the wear and tear of the metal because of the corrosion from the weather, for instance. So all these factors will allow our customers to get there when they do sell their vehicles, and also for us to bring, also over time, we'll bring value to our customers for them to be able to buy new cars or used vehicles for the best price as well. So we're definitely using all the data, and we're developing our platform, we're investing a lot in technology, and we certainly believe that the platform that we're building is, you know, it's for the future. So we're allocating a lot of capital to R&D.
A quick last question. There's lots of talk around global chip shortages. I'm imagining, how much is that impacting you? How much have you been impacted by supply chain issues that are still prevalent in the planet?
So we're not an island. Clearly, all these things impact us. But we're quite fortunate because we have ordered components well in advance, and we believe we have sufficient inventory to carry us through this financial year.
You're perfect. We'll leave
and
that
hopefully
there.
In 12 months or in 18 months' time, things will normalize. But what we have seen over the years is the lead times for components is getting longer and longer. Yeah. And this is not just a COVID thing. This is actually, I think it's been happening for the last 15 or even, for 15 years. It just keeps on getting longer. And I think obviously with COVID, it's just made matters worse.
Yeah, we can see that in your inventory holdings. You've got the stock sitting there. Zach Callister, CEO of Karooo. Appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings Number 4. It will invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. The poll we're asking you today on our social media accounts, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, great results from Co-op, I agree. They're not as much of an agri play as they used to be, but have you been investing into agri stocks as we see the surge in the agricultural prices, the yields, and in the share prices at the same time? Options, absolutely missed it. Don't like the cyclicals, or maybe you'll catch it next time. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.